Sometimes as a teacher, I have vivid memories of when I was actually a student. I remember being a kid in classrooms and knowing at that time very early on that I also wanted to be a teacher. And there would be these moments that things would happen and I was like, oh my gosh, when I'm a teacher, I'm going to do that. Or oh my gosh, when I'm a teacher, I'm not going to do that. And I have particularly fond and vivid memories of classroom activities that would happen during the holidays. And there was one activity that we did in first grade where my teacher taught us how to make a handprint turkey by putting your hand all spread out on a piece of construction paper and then taking your pencil and outlining your fingers that would eventually become the feathers of the turkey. And I remember thinking, like, this is crazy. I am so excited to go home and show my parents and talk about this. And we can make Thanksgiving hand turkeys during our extended break. Well, now as a teacher, I have definitely showed kids how to make a handprint turkey. But for me, by the time they're in middle school, they're like, yeah, we did that in elementary school. But I still think the holidays are a really important time for us to maybe hit pause on some content and create some really fond memories for kids. And I think we can do that in simple, strategic ways. And I actually recently did this with kids, and I want to share it with you because I think that this will create so many great conversations. It will create so much appreciation, and it'll be something that they can be thankful for outside of the classroom as well, and maybe even share that with the adults in their homes. So if you are looking for something to do this upcoming holiday season, especially that would be perfect around Thanksgiving time, then you are going to love this because it takes no time, no prep. And what it will actually create is a rich conversation that brings up some really heartfelt answers. Let's get into this idea. There is awesome in every single school day. Here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. People get really passionate about holiday foods. I think specifically things like green bean casserole or pumpkin pie or even something like a turkey and a ham. Those are rather traditional dishes in a lot of households over the holidays. But the reality is I'm not thankful for that type of meal. I'm thankful for food. I am thankful for the ability to gather with family. So I want to be very clear. I'm appreciative of Thanksgiving. But the very traditional, like mashed potatoes, rolls, pie kind of thing is not my style of cooking. You know what I'm really thankful for on Thanksgiving? I would be thankful for pizza. In fact, my family does actually do a super non-traditional Thanksgiving feast. We do meatballs and homemade pasta and large salads with, you know, olive oil and all of the things. That I'm thankful for. But isn't that kind of cool that my traditions and your traditions, what you are appreciative of and what I'm appreciative of, while they might be different, they can still unite us and we can learn a lot from each other. And that is exactly what I wanted to do to create some rooted relationships with kids during the holiday season. The reality is, in schools, we have diverse opinions, we've got diverse traditions, we've got diverse beliefs, and I think that we have to create an environment where those things are celebrated instead of creating friction and debate in a negative way. I'm all for disagreements. I'm all for saying like, no, I don't see that the same way, but can we at least learn and love and laugh and grow together, especially during the holidays? So with all of that in mind, I created a very simple activity, and I did this during my advisory class. Now, if you don't have advisory, you could do this with students during a morning meeting time or a homeroom or just as an opportunity to hit pause for people. If you are a school that actually uses the social and emotional learning standards to get kids' college, career, and life ready, then this is a perfect activity. If you are just the type of teacher who's like, no, I want to build relationships with kids, I understand that in order to see the fruits of education, we need to plant some roots. And not just planting roots on the first week of school, like we need to continually water those roots from the seeds that we planted at the icebreaker activities at the beginning of the school year, then I think that you are going to jive with this activity. So you can do this activity on paper or you can do it digitally. I'm a big fan of when we are building relationships with kids, we disconnect from Wi-Fi so we can connect with kids. Let me go ahead and say that again. Because I think the holiday season is about just building in relationships. If we are trying to focus on kids, if we are trying to connect with kids, we should disconnect from Wi-Fi. And that's why I think advisories, morning meetings, social and emotional learning time should be off of a computer at least as much as possible. So for this activity, I actually had kids fill it out on paper. And on one side of the paper, it was almost like an acrostic, okay? It was an acrostic sort of like poem kind of thing. But kids didn't have to write a poem. They had the letters T-H-A-N-K-F-U-L on the left-hand side of the paper, obviously spelling out thankful in a vertical way. And then what kids had to do is they had to come up with a word or phrase that was directly connected to the letter and the letters of thankful, because it's a Thanksgiving holiday activity, okay? So, for example, on the A, I told them that they had to not take a cop out and be like, I am thankful for a can of soda. That's kind of cheating because you're just using like articles, no like a, and the. So for the T, you couldn't say, I am thankful for the school. You had to actually like kind of marinate on some things that you are truly in your heart and in your head thankful for. So a total of 8 items for the 8 letters of the word thankful. So that's all they had to do on the front side was take a second and think about those things. Now, they could be persons, places, things, emotions, situations. I did not give them specific guidelines on what they could or could not write, other than what they put down had to be school appropriate. I think sometimes with social and emotional learning, if we give too many directions, we're pigeonholing kids and we're not giving the opportunity to fully express themselves or fully tap into emotions. But I think at the same time, if we're too loosey-goosey, then this turns into something like, yo, we're not even going to unpack that because you're not taking it seriously and that's also not school appropriate. So I said, like, I want you to be genuine in this, but you can also have some fun with it. So that is what they had to do on the front side. Now, when you flip the paper over, it still said thankful on the other side, but I gave lines to the right of the letters so that kids could do some meaningful, deeper reflections. And so what kids had to do is look at what they put for the T and look at what they put for the H and the A and so on, and then give a, you know, 1 to 2 sentence description on why you picked that. Why are you thankful for that? What kinds of emotions, what kinds of memories, what kinds of connections can you communicate in written format for that? And so this was actually really surprising to me because I did this with seventh graders and eighth graders, and I was wondering how seriously they were going to take this, and they took it so seriously. As I was giving them the time and the space to like physically write on this activity, you could have absolutely heard a pin drop in the classroom until they got to like you and they're like, oh man, this one's kind of hard. I'm having kind of a hard time with it. And so they weren't upset and they weren't saying like, this is impossible. They were just sitting there racking their brain, examining their heart, examining their head for what can I put for that? And so first of all, if this activity stopped right here, it was a huge win, right? Because I think oftentimes we don't hit pause and have kids dig deeper. And I think that's especially true as kids get older. If you are listening to this in an elementary setting, maybe you've done something like this up to this point. Like it might not be uncommon for you to do this. And then you glue it to some like orange or yellow or brown construction paper and you send it home to family so that they can talk about it around their turkey table. And I fully support that. But I actually took it up a whole nother level because I also turned this into a game. In fact, that's what I'm going to talk about in the second part of this episode, how this activity is not done. If it was done, it would be a win. But I actually utilize this to have a group game, a group conversation to unite us as a classroom family. And we're going to get into the specifics of that rule and the specifics of that game in the second part of this episode. So stick around because that's coming up in approximately 1 minute. I said it earlier in this episode, but I want to reemphasize this. As teachers, I think we do a really good job of taking the time and the space to build relationships with kids at the beginning of the school year. But sometimes what we forget because of pacing and curriculum maps and because we are really busy as educators is we forget that that relationship building process is a process. It's not a one and done kind of thing. And if we want to continue to foster those relationships, if we want to continue to build up those relationships, then we need to hit pause for people continually. And this is exactly what this activity is all about. But I know at this point in the school year, some of you are like, yeah, I'm having a hard time reaching all kids. I feel like we've kind of hit a wall. But the good news is when kids have built a wall, we have teacher tools to build a ladder over that wall. And what I want to do is give you the opportunity to get some new ideas, some new strategies, some new lesson plans so you can build ridiculously rooted relationships with kids right now and for the rest of the school year. Because here in a few weeks, I am starting the Rooted Classroom course, a 21-day fun, flexible, all virtual course where you are going to walk away with hundreds of ideas on how to connect with kids on a social, emotional, relational level. During the course, there are videos, there are discussion questions, there are live events, there's an interactive, engaging workbook, and this is something that I'm confident is going to help you connect with kids and build a positive family culture in your classroom. Registration is actually open right now. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. And one of the coolest perks of the Rooted Classroom course is that you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credits because of your participation. If you want to build rooted relationships with kids next month and for the rest of the school year, check out the Rooted Classroom course where you'll walk away with hundreds of engaging, motivational, simple strategies for relationship building. Check out monicagenta.com/courses to get your spot reserved for the course. I hope to see you in there. Now, I promised that this was not just a reflection activity, that I was going to take this thankful activity and turn it into a game. And if you've been following me on the This Teacher Life podcast for a second, or maybe you follow me on social media, you know that I am a huge fan of games. I'm a huge fan of game shows. So I find myself doing game show types of things in my classroom all the time. Well, this activity, this worksheet, if you will, is a perfect opportunity to create a game show. Because once kids had reflected, I collected them and I personally read through them. And what I was looking for was kind of unique things. Like if you put T for turkey, I love that, but I was looking for something different. If you put N for noodles, I was looking for something different. Food was totally acceptable in this game, but I was looking for almost like quirky, unique, almost kind of non-traditional things that would put a spotlight on our differences, but in a positive way. So I took those worksheets and I kind of put a little highlighter mark next to them. And then the very next day, we played a game show called What Are Classmates Thankful For? And so what I would do is I would say, get your buzzers ready. And their buzzers were just their hands. If they thought they knew the answer, then they would raise their hand. So that's the visual. And then also buzz in and they would say, buzz. And so they could buzz in to predict which of their classmates was thankful for that item. And then after each item, we had a conversation. So kids were like, oh man, I wanna see how well I know my friends. Oh, I wonder if I can predict which of the kids in my class would actually say that. I chose at least one item from every kid's paper for this activity to ensure that all kids were included. And so I want to give you some examples of things that were said. For example, one kid for the K put Kentucky Fried Chicken. I loved that answer. They like totally thought that through. And it was unique because it was fried chicken. So then when I flipped it over, they had a reflection about how him and his mom don't do a traditional Thanksgiving meal. That they both like Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's their favorite. And they kind of have this bonding experience over going to Kentucky Fried Chicken together because they both really like it. And so I thought, ooh, that's like a cute connection that I wonder if other kids can relate to. Are there other traditions that some of our kids have with their raisins? The raisins, you know, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, whoever is raising these kids, what kind of traditions do they have? And so then kids got to buzz in and predict, oh, which one of my classmates said that? Another kid said for the F, flamingos. And I was like, one student said that they were thankful for F, for flamingos. And they said, I chose flamingos because they are a beautiful creature. In fact, they are my favorite animal. You may buzz in on who selected that. And the kids shot their arms up in there and they're like, buzz, buzz. And then I had to pick one kid who buzzed in quickly and they're like, I bet that was Tasha. I bet that was Tasha. I'm like, I'm sorry, that was not Tasha. Somebody else can buzz in. They're like, buzz. I'm like, I bet that was Madison. And I'm like, Madison, was it you? And Madison was like, yes. I think flamingos are so pretty. And then kids turn, they're like, me too. And then another kid's like, do you know that flamingos are actually pink because they eat shrimp? And another kid said, well, there's a lot of flamingos at the place that I go fishing with my grandpa. And another kid said, are you sure they're flamingos? And another kid said, I think they're probably cranes. And they're like, where do you go fishing with your grandpa? And the kid said, and he said the name of the pond. And the kid said, I love going fishing with my grandpa. I'm hoping over Thanksgiving break that my grandpa will take me fishing. And friends, I just want to hit pause because this is the exact reason why we're playing this game. I want to go back. Like a kid said they were thankful for flamingos because they're a beautiful creature. And now all of a sudden these kids are connecting about how they want to go fishing with their grandpa. I think sometimes to keep class on track and to keep us focused, we do have to stifle some of these conversations that just naturally unfold. Kids want to connect. Hell, humans want to connect with each other. And I guess the question is, are we creating the time and the space for us to just humanize the learning process? Because we are going to be better lab partners when we know each other on a life level. We are going to be better table buddies when we know each other on a life level. We are going to be more supportive and more encouraging of our peers when we know each other on a life level. So there is a time and a place to stifle unnecessary conversation. And there's also a time and a space to open up the door to what can happen when we just allow those conversations to unfold. Another kid said for in, they were thankful for nighttime runs. And they said, there's just something really cool about when it's kind of cold because the sun has come down and it's kind of dark outside and you have to put on reflective stuff and you just go for a run to clear your head. And kids buzzed in and they thought for sure it was me. They're like, Miss Jenta, that sounds exactly like you. And I'm like, that is actually not my paper. And for the record, do I do this same reflection with kids? Absolutely. Do I also have conversation and connections about what I put on my thankful reflections? Yes. So I thought it was kind of cool that kids thought, oh, that sounds like Miss Jenta, but it wasn't mine. And some other kids buzzed in and no one knew who it was. And finally I said, okay, if you are thankful for nighttime runs, go ahead and reveal yourself. And the kid raised his hand and the whole class was like, no way. I didn't know that you even liked to run. He's like, yeah, I do it every once in a while because it's a really good just mental type of thing to get your mind right. And I'm like, heck yes, I agree. So then me and that student had a nice little conversation because I didn't know that he was a nighttime runner. And so I could relate to that. And that was really cool. Some kids put things like for in Netflix binging, and we had a really kind of quirky, fun conversation because the kid said, sometimes it's nice to get lost in a TV show, and I find it really funny when Netflix comes and says, are you still watching? And everyone laughed and like, yeah, oh my gosh, after a few episodes, they're shaming us because they're like, you still shouldn't be watching the show. One kid said for H, they got really excited because it was a double H. Both of the words were H's and it said hamburger helper. I'm really thankful for hamburger helper because it's one of the greatest and easiest meals a person can make. As I go through these, there was just such a unique thing. One kid put for tea, talking to friends. One kid put for K, kindergarten. And this was an eighth grade boy. And he said, some of my best school memories ever actually came from kindergarten, and I can still specifically remember the sights and the smells of that kindergarten classroom. And what an endearing, beautiful thing for an eighth grade boy to bring up. And then of course, you know, eighth grade boys are going to bring up, what are they thankful for? K, for ketchup, because it's the ultimate condiment. It tastes good on practically all things because of its very mild flavor. Friends, those are some examples of what kids wrote and also some examples of the conversation that unfolded. That took like no time, that cost nothing. The prep was minimal because all they had to do was take about 10 to 15 minutes the day before to document some things that they were thankful for. And then the very next day, we got to play an engaging conversation connection type of game. That's what it means to build a rooted classroom. That's what it means to put the roots before the fruits, is sometimes we hit pause for people so we can create a positive environment before our kids leave, especially for extended holiday breaks. We know that not all kids are looking forward to breaks like other kids because of the just home dynamics that exist, or maybe the home dynamics that don't exist. But can our classroom culture and our classroom home be a safe space that kids appreciate and know that they are safe and trusted and loved before we leave for break? This thankful activity is super simple, super strategic, and a great way to just continue to cultivate relationships. If you want to play this game, or you do end up playing this game in your classroom, I'd love to hear how it goes. Will you do me a favor? If you play this game, will you reach out to me on Instagram or TikTok or shoot me an email? Because I'm kind of wondering if the dynamics will be the same in your classroom as well. Regardless of what your holiday plans look like in the future, regardless of whether you're eating turkey or pizza, I hope that there are things in your life that you are super thankful for. I personally am genuinely thankful that you are a listener of the This Teacher Life podcast. It means so much to have literally hundreds, sometimes thousands of people downloading these episodes within the first few minutes of them hitting the podcast platforms on Sunday. New episodes are released every single Sunday night, so you're ready for your commute. So thank you for being some of those first downloaders. Thank you for being a part of the podcast and sharing that with your friends. But most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.